I'm not going to do much looking back now. My reflections about last year are very much in the written report, and you can kind of read that at your leisure. So I'm not going to go over that all again. There are lots of thank yous that I need to give. There are so many that I know I will always miss someone out. The big one, obviously, was Giles this year. But I particularly want to thank everyone that supports and plays a part in ministry in whatever way at St. Matthew's, which is pretty much all of you, if I'm honest. But particular thanks to the wardens, the DCC, the leadership team and the staff that are just incredibly, incredibly supportive. Now, here is a bit of a test about whether anyone has actually read the reports. If you are, then you'll know why I'm just singling out one additional thank you, and that's because this person isn't going to be here when we do this next year, and that's Claire, who is our church administrator. At some point later this year, she will be stepping down. I hope it will be a lot later in the year, but I think she probably hopes it happens sooner rather than later. Since her husband's retirement, they are looking to move and to relocate elsewhere in the country. And we will give a proper goodbye and a proper thank you closer to the time. But I really wanted it to be minuted today. So write it down, please, Claire. More work for you, I do realise. And I just would really want to say a big thank you for kind of coping with the vicar's foibles and idiosyncrasies and somehow keeping him vaguely on track. It's really appreciated. There are obvious big highlights this year. We've talked about the gift day already. That has been a massive one. Your generosity has made such a significant difference, not just what happens now, but to laying a foundation for ministry to continue with our children and with our young people, and we really appreciate that. One of the constant threads that's been there for a couple of years, but it was very much part of the last year, was about discipleship. And that, in a way, kind of, that doesn't go away. It's still a focus of what we want to be about as a church. But really, today is also about looking forward. And I guess what I'm going to say at the end of the PowerPoint, so could we get to the beginning of it rather than the end? Cool. I'll carry on talking. That's a really good idea. What I would say is actually my thoughts contain more questions than they do answers. It's a bit last week when I was talking about creativity and saying we need to be like do this, but I don't know what it looks like. And I guess my question, first of all, is what does St. Matt's look like, or what will St. Matt's look like in the future? Well, the obvious answer is, well, it's made of red brick, isn't it? You know, High Broom's brick even. I think you know as well as I do that I'm not talking about a building. The church is about people. It's about us. You can't go to church. You can't attend church because you are church. We are all church. We're part of God's family. And we're connected together because we're all connected to Jesus. So every church is going to be different because it's made up of different groups of people. And if I could have the next slide, thanks. Just as each person is an individual, that there isn't two of us in this room that are the same, even if the children's worker and the youth worker seem to do an awful lot of sucking up to each other. We're all different. We're all individual. And I think that's true of every church. There's no two churches that are the same, and there's no sense that we should be trying to copy other churches. So it leaves us with this question, well, what should we be like? I think one of the temptations is to define church by what we do. If we get beyond the brickwork, it's hard to kind of think, well, what is church? And it's easy for kind of occasions like this to be about talking about the things that we do as church. And there have been times when I've stood here at annual church meetings and laid out the big dream. It's been for reordering the building twice. We've done that one. It's been for taking on extra staff to grow new areas of ministry. It's been to initiate new things in the community. There's been lots of different things that we've kind of talked about on days like this. And often when you talk in those terms, kind of, you end up defining church by what it is. And it's natural to be want to be part of a church that's making a difference. It's the same for church leaders. You know, for a church leader, it's very easy to judge whether you're doing well or not, you know, by actually what the church is doing. You know, is it doing more things in the community than it was before? Are more people in church than they were before? You know, all of these things can kind of be part of how you get your head around whether you're being successful in your role as a church leader. And it can also be how we get our heads around whether we're successful as a church. But one of the messages, and I think it's a thread through a lot of what's happened already, even from kind of Hannah talking about kind of the you know, the need to kind of lay down, the lone parent group at the beginning, kind of issues of kind of the balancing act of finance and resources, the need for volunteers, is that we are kind of living in a time when kind of our church demographics have changed, when actually there are less people around, and even those of us that are around actually earn less money, it would seem. And actually it has the impact of actually shrinking the church's footprint and affecting what we can do as a church family. And it would be easy to kind of look back and think, well, actually, we're not doing what we did in the past. You know, how do we make sense of that? And how do we make sense of what it means to be church kind of in the light of that? And that's the heart of this big question, really. I talked about it a little bit last year, and the talk for that will be on the, website. You can still hear that. And one of the questions is kind of, do we run church in such a way that we are here to support you as disciples of Jesus where you are, or do we run church in such a way that we are expecting you to give more and more of your time here in church to support what we are doing? And probably there's a bit of each in it, but actually the culture in which we exist in, not just as St. Matt's, but probably as every church, is shifting that. And actually it's probably right that we kind of think beyond that. And so I guess one of my questions today is, do we define church by what we do, or do we define it by what we are? And I do think it's easy to focus on what a church does. It's easy to quantify numbers or whether we're doing things well. It's harder to make sense of church in the light of what we do. And I just found myself wanting to ask the questions about kind of what really matter about what we are. And that takes us back to our vision. Could I have the next slide? Thank you. Several years ago, we kind of changed our vision statement to igniting passion for Jesus. And at the heart of that is discipleship. And the next slide. Thank you. That's kind of, and the way kind of that undergirds so much of what we've been about, and I think we'll continue to do that. We're about being disciples of Jesus ourselves. We're about challenging each other in our walk with Jesus that we become more like him. We're about hopefully sharing Jesus with others so that they too might want to be Jesus's disciples. And last year there was a lot of emphasis on teaching on that, but the things we do, our house groups, our pods, are kind of all about that. And we're going to be focusing on pods a little bit more in the coming weeks. There's yet another video in production, not quite ready for today, and probably we had enough video for today. But kind of, we're just going to have a little bit of a look at that and reinvest in that as we go on this year. But part of our passion for discipleship has also been about growing leaders. Thank you. Could I have the next slide? That's part of my passion personally. You know, I want us as a church to be about raising up a new generation of leaders, and people discovering what God has for them. It's really exciting that Mark is going to be ordained at the end of this year. You know, I kind of would like to repopulate the Church of England before I retire, if that's at all possible, you know. But actually, it isn't just about church leaders. It's about all of us being released into ministry in whatever way is appropriate, so that we can all play our part in kind of church life. and we can all fulfill the potential that God has put in each one of us. It's one of the reasons why we banged on about creativity last week, because we're different, and how we do that is expressed in a multitude of different ways. But we just want to, in a sense, it's those values that we want to inform church life. So kind of discipleship is at the heart of it, but also, if I think it's the last slide, or almost the last slide, Jesus is at the heart of it. And if kind of we've put the focus on discipleship in recent years, it's funny how kind of, I don't know about you, I kind of notice it in lots of areas in life, so much that happens ends up like being a bit like a pendulum. You emphasize one thing and it almost becomes at the exclusion of other things. And one of the reasons we kind of changed our vision statement was discipleship, but we also felt we wanted to put Jesus in the heart of everything we did. But before that, our kind of mission statement talked all about actually encountering the presence of God. And it feels like in swinging the pendulum one way, possibly we've also left something behind the other way. And the whole thing about Jesus being at the heart of our mission statement is, and about being wanting to be passionate about him, is that actually we aren't just talking about a historical faith that discusses someone that lived and died 2,000 years ago. It's about a living faith that's about a relationship with someone that died, that was raised from the dead, that is alive now, and who, when he returned to his Father, gifted us his Spirit to empower us to live as Jesus people wherever we are. Kind of one of the things that I guess has marked out St. Matthew's over the years, and it feels to me like actually perhaps we are on a journey to rediscover it, is that sense of expectation about the presence of God. That when we meet in his name, he's here by his Spirit, that we encounter him. And it's been interesting because it seems to me that it's something that's been building, and I think it's something that we need to pursue. I think we saw signs of it with the Hungry Evenings in Lent. That's why we've decided to continue. It's interesting that coinciding with that was this one of the Sundays when Claire and the youth kind of got them waiting for words. And it kind of brought in just a renewed sense of God's presence when those words were shared with us as a church family. And I guess one of my questions is about what defines us. It's not bricks and mortar. It's not necessarily the things we do. But perhaps it ought to be about our expectation that when we come here, when we meet together, when we and literally that everything we do as church kind of flows out of that encounter with Jesus, that we're different because of him. And ultimately, that's transformative. When we're with Jesus, we're different. People noticed that in the New Testament. They looked at the disciples in Acts and said they were with Jesus. And they saw that something was different about them because of it. It should be transformative for us, and it should be transformative for church life. It partly answers that question about, is church defined by who we are or what we do? Actually, our encounter with Jesus ought to define what we end up doing. It ought to flow out of that. So there shouldn't be a tension with it. It also ought to be transformative in us discovering who we're meant to be and how we express our identities and how we are wired to serve God in the light of how he made us as individuals. It's also about how we share him with others, because it isn't about something that we kind of work up or have a formula for. It's about him transforming us and us naturally sharing that in our lives. And kind of that is great things to say. It's a little bit about it's a little bit like the kind of comments last week about kind of the church being the most creative place on earth. You know, that we should be more hungry for God. That we should have a greater expectation of him. That we should have a greater expectation that we would be changed by him. But you're still left with that whole question of how does that look like? How does that work out in the changing age in which we live, where we have less time, less people, less money, and yet somehow we're called to be the visible expression of Christ's body on this planet and in this community and in our lives at this time? So as I say, kind of, you know, what I'm saying isn't about a big picture, but perhaps it's about a call and a challenge to renew our passion for the one that loves us, and to allow that to shape our church life, and to discover together what that might look like. And I'm going to shut up. I don't know. I didn't give limits of myself to. Actually, I've been 15 minutes. That's not. I've been under 15 minutes. That's not bad, is it? Okay.